replaceable head.
Richard Hell and the Voidoids with the kid with the replaceable head. It's a really great little early punk rock track. Not often heard in that version because they created a non-album single, and then the band went under, and then it was somewhat poorly re-recorded for his second album, which no one really remembers existed anyways except fans. But Richard Hell, kind of like this beatnik dude who ran away. Well, not really ran away, he was 18, but the second he was 18, he said, fuck it. Left, I believe it was Kentucky, got on the bus to New York City and formed the band Television with his childhood friend, Tom Verlaine. And then Tom Verlaine pushed him out, and they became the Television that we music hipsters all know and love. And Richard Hell went and formed the Voidoids, which was like this beatnik jazz punk band that kind of played this kind of shuffling rhythms and groovy guitar, and then his sort of absurdist lyrics over the top of that, kind of howling. So I'm sitting here waiting, I think, for someone supposed to come so I can gab with them. But in the meantime, why don't we bring in a little more music? Here he is now on the phone. Hello, Max? Ah, all right. All right, he is on his way now. All right, so why don't we bring back the tunes? A little something by Husker Du. This is a song from, I believe it's 1983, well, released in 84, recorded in 83. This is Pink Turns to Blue.
Celebrating every
That was Husker Du with Pink Turns to Blue. Max Rosenthal has just arrived. Here he comes now, walking down the street. Something, 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 and something to meet. Hey, it's Max Rosenthal.
Bubbles getting cool. All right.
All right. So, how'd your day go?
Well, my iPod, this whole past week, it's been going on like its last.
It's death
last
throes.
Legs, yeah.
What generation is it?
I got it junior year of high school, so it's very old.
Remember the Patton Oswalt joke? Isn't it just like Obama to give you a free fuck doll and it breaks after 5 years?
I know.
Isn't it just like, yeah.
It did, just like that, breaks after five years.
And that's with taking good care of it or taking whatever?
Oh, taking awful care of it. Oh, no way.
Yeah, no, if my iPod were a child, DSS would have come for it long ago. So I was thinking, how about a little Al Green?
Al Green's great.
This is Al Green, a weird guy in that he is like the ultimate sexy soul singer. Like, I remember I heard some quote where he's like, there's just something about the sound of his voice that makes a man want to make love to a woman.
Yeah.
But then also way into Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, and then at a certain point, his music became about the tension between...
Well, he became a reverend.
Oh, yeah. But like, before he went full-on out, like, mm-hmm. reverend, he's like, he made music about, I want pussy, but I need Jesus.
Yeah.
So this is a really great song of his that's pretty much about that. This is Belle by Al Green.
Al Green.
Joe. my daughter all the time. Yeah, I know you're all of these things, yeah, but he's such a brighter joy.
Talking about the perils of jury duty.
Yeah, it is. I mean, have you ever gone to jury duty?
I've gone once. Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten out of it twice. Once here because I'd already done it in Boston, like recently enough that I didn't have to do it. What happened was it was on a Friday. I just went to this big courthouse in the center of town, right by City Hall.
In Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Like by Government Center, where they have that. You know, like, everyone here has seen the horrible architecture of places like FPH and the library. Like, the Boston City Hall is from the same genetic strand of horrible, like, brutalist 60s architecture, where it just looks like, it looks like it's, like, the headquarters of the Gestapo or something. Like, it's just...
It's awful.
Yeah, yes, modernism, efficiency, brutality. So I go, and basically we just sit around. I have, like, my Dunkin' Donuts coffee and donut. I have a Vanity Fair article with, like, a Vanity Fair issue with, like, a big article about, like, female singer-songwriters of the 70s. And it's, like, cool. I think it was a sample from a book. It was, like, Carly Simon, Joni Mitchell, and Carol King.
Okay.
And I basically, I didn't bring a book. I got stuck sipping Dunkin' Donuts and reading that article. And then eventually a judge came, and it's, like, all right, all rise for the honorable judge so-and-so. And he's, like, just so you know, we plead everything out, basically. Bye. and then we had to, like, sit for another 2 hours, and then that was it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I
had a very similar thing in Northampton. I had to go to jury duty, and we sat and we watched the news. They had, like, the morning. Very professional.
I mean, my people fucking get called. My brother, all the other members of my family have been called, including my brother last spring. I think it was, like, some sort of financial malfeasance thing, but he was sequestered for, like, a couple of weeks. He got, like, $40 a day or something.
Oh, wow. That's...
But he couldn't work.
Oh, right. So that's...
Yeah.
Well, I guess if... Yeah, that's more than I make in a day, by far. It's more than I make in a week.
You need to be hustling on the mean streets of Amherst. You know?
I know.
Put on your best short shorts. Muscle tee. Just stand out there. Looking for a good time.
Yeah. Boombox playing, Al Green songs, early Al Green songs.
Seductively smoking a cigarette. Maybe some Hampshire professor you didn't realize was in the closet drives up and is like, hey, I got a hot meal and a shower waiting for you at home.
Yeah, that would make me so uncomfortable. I could never do that.
Also, they're professors. So, well, yeah. I guess some of the professors here are independently wealthy. I mean, like, you know Lynn Miller.
Yeah.
Lynn Miller's wife is loaded. So if Lynn Miller picked you up for a threesome with him and his wife, I'm not saying he's going to do that.
Right.
He has money to tip you handsomely.
Cool.
I mean, it's that or jury duty.
Yeah, that or jury duty.
Sound logic.
I'd take that over jury duty.
Take that. You'd make love to Lynn Miller and his wife?
It would be a good story in my autobiography. It would be.
He should have cancer a million times over by now. You might contract cancer from him. Between cigars and lab chemicals.
Hmm. Is he a natural science professor?
He founded the biology department here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
You see him scowling outside Cole every day smoking his cheap-ass cigars?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he just pans his eyes back and forth as you walk by. It doesn't even nod, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I really do hate jury duty, though.
I mean, what if you were sequestered for, like, a murder trial?
Well, then I'd just feel anxious and want to leave. I would never want to. I mean, I'm sure it was interesting. My dad has a very interesting story about jury duty. So he went, and it was a domestic violence case. And I feel like an idiot now because I don't remember the story exactly. But it ended up the guy who was going to beat up, who was on jury for beating up his wife. I don't remember. The story is not mine. I can't really say it secondhand. But isn't this great radio?
Domestic violence, quite. Back to music, or I mean, just trying to think about jury duty. I think my dad was once the foreman of a jury. I think it was like an embezzlement case or something.
Huh.
The thing I hear about jury duty selection is once you're in the box, they don't want anyone they think is a smarty pants who's going to get all overly analytical. Like both the prosecution and the defense want someone they can ram their talking points down.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, so I just got to be. So you're out, basically.
Yeah. I mean, my mom has told me that, like, as, like, the smarty pants, like, Jewish liberal lady, she always has, like, a bullet, like, a bullseye on her back for being, like, begged off. Like, not the smarty pants liberal Jewish lady.
Yeah. As, yeah.
With her opinions.
Would comedian work? Would comedian get you out?
I mean, if you seemed irreverent enough.
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone really go in and say racist or crazy things? I wonder.
I don't.
Because it's like everyone.
I heard there was a guy in the 80s punk scene who never really, in LA, who never really made it. It wasn't Gigi Allen, but I'm sure he and Gigi Allen would have gotten along great.
Smeared poo on each other.
Yeah, well, that's what. How he got out of jury duty was he sent.
Literally?
He sent in the form that said, like, smeared I can do this, but also smeared, yeah, exactly, smeared if, with poo.
If you have a calling card that works for you, stick with it.
Yeah, and he didn't get called for jury duty for another 7 years, and by that time he was dead, so.
Wasn't he also in prison for, like, raping someone at a concert or something?
That might be Gigi Allen. This is a different guy.
Oh, no, I'm naming Gigi Allen.
Oh, yeah, Gigi Allen.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
You've seen that video of his last show where he's just like running around he has like his shrinkage swinging side to side and he just goes out in the street just like rah, 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 and he's just throwing himself on the pavement and then you see like, you know, like the later that day he went home and OD'd on heroin.
Oh man, sad. But also
it's kind of trending in that direction.
Yeah, it's not surprising, but it's heroin is a sad drug.
I mean, but yeah, but more so the rape and the poop throwing and the bad punk rock.
Yeah, that's also sad. Well, I mean, yeah, he's a sad guy.
But
Gigi Allen.
Where do you stand on his music?
I don't really like it much. I'm not a fan. But tragic figure.
More tunes. All right, this is one of the most famous songs by early Pink Floyd when they were led by Sid Barrett.
Yeah.
This here is See Emily Play.
Yeah.
Which we are about to do.
Emily tries, but misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You'll lose your mind and play Freegate's play. See Emily play. Emily cries, gazing through trees in sorrow, hardly a sound till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You
put on a gown that touches the ground. Float on the river forever and ever, Emily.
So during the song, we were talking about the Avengers trailer. I know a lot of comic book fans on campus. I thought it was a reasonably promising trailer. It's just funny, like,
yeah,
the weird mixture of people who end up actually being used. Like,
yeah, that is a weird.
Like, why they brought in Hawkeye? Like, Hawkeye is one of he's. I'm gonna nerd out here on the, not that nerding out about comic books is out of place at Hampshire College, but yeah. So the original Avengers run was they brought Thor and the Hulk and Ant-Man and Ant-Girl, and oh, who else was it? I think it was just them together, and they're like, and the Hulk was kind of the loose cannon.
Yeah.
And then eventually...
Oh, it's been a loose cannon.
Oh, and Iron Man. And then eventually, I think it was issue 4 or issue 5, there's this very famous cover, which is Captain America's back from the dead, and it's like him surging towards the thing, and it's like, oh, Captain America's going to be the focal point of the Avengers now. And so, like, they make the storyline that basically by, I think, issue 10 or 15, the Avengers are just, they're burnt out. It's like, dude, like, Captain America, like, no backsies. This is your shit now. We all want to retire, do our thing, you know. We want to run our own strip. You know, that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
So this is your cross to bear now. And then Captain America's like, well, what am I going to do? And then Hawkeye is one of the people that he recruits. I think Hawkeye is originally a bad guy. Well, he's not a bad guy. I guess he's a little mischievous. Yeah. So then it ends up being him and Hawkeye and Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't think they're in the movie. Quicksilver and the Scarlet.
No. It's Thor and Iron Man.
Yeah, Thor, Iron Man,
and the Hulk.
The Hulk.
But and Captain America. Yeah,
and the Avengers.
And the Hawkeye. And then like, you have Nick Fury and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. 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 Scarlett Johansson in the skin tight outfit that'll get people in the theater.
I mean,
I'm not necessarily saying us. I'm just saying
I just
people.
Can't believe that there was like a period where it was like three or four years ago where she was just considered like the it girl for a year or two.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you hit that?
What?
Would you hit that?
I don't know. I'd probably hit anything, but
it's a good thing this is Hampshire Radio.
No, I mean,
how close to the bone do you want to cut on your radio?
I don't know. I was just saying that. I don't know. Given some, I mean, like people always go like, oh, like they take like you know them having sex with celebrities as like I would never do that or I'd totally do that, but they would.
They would.
They totally like if Scarlett Johansson came up to you and you're just a regular guy at a bar like. Works at like you know McDonald's. You'd totally do it. You totally.
You'd be like, I'm not in the mood, but let's not and say we did. Like, I'm gonna tell my buddies later. Just, nah, I don't know. But what was I gonna say? Scarlett Johansson. Oh, she had a quickie marriage to Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I know. I saw that on a tabloid.
So now I guess she's married Van Wilder / the Green Lantern / Hal Jordan.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, no, he's an acquired taste that no one seems to have picked up.
Right. Did you see the switch up or the change up, I guess is what it was called?
Which one was that?
That's the Jason Bateman movie where they pee in the fountain and then they switch bodies and like Jason Bateman works.
Oh, yeah, one of them is like a badass lawyer whose secretary is into him or something, or... Oh, no, the secretary... No,
he likes the secretary, but he can't do anything because he's in a he's married to Judd Apatow's wife.
Oh, what's her name? What do you think of her?
It's okay. I'm very non-committal to a lot of your questions.
He makes her like the female lead of all of his movies.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I liked her in I liked her in some things. I can't remember exactly what I did. The Change Up was not a very good movie. Surprisingly, it was not. It's not good.
Shocking.
I know.
Positively, to quote Sean Connery, shocking.
Exactly.
Positively shocking.
Yeah.
But little Grateful Dead now.
All right. Yeah.
This is Dupree's Diamond Blues. Whoopsies. Still learning technical proficiency here. So yes, one moment. All right, here we go.
When I was just a little young boy, Papa said, "Son, you'll never get the part. I'll tell you the reason.
With Dupree's Diamond Blues. We were just talking about white people freestyle rapping and it being taken seriously, or not.
Or not. Well, mostly not, right? I mean...
Yeah. Hanging out at the library doing my LSATs. Gotta get the feet together to get them processed. Gotta go to my interview at Michigan Law. Oh yeah, gonna go work for a firm. Look at some contracts, splitting fat stacks off my cash, off them contracts. Making sure the boating company can make their shipment. No, not gonna get crap from the Congress. Gonna dump lots of shit in the ocean. Gonna go to Somalia. Gonna dump it on the pirates and then turn around. Yeah. Gotta maximize your quarterly profits to show the fucking stockholders that you're making the green so you can make the scene at the restaurant in Manhattan. Get the gold leaf on top of chocolate with vanilla bean ice cream. Say fuck yeah, cause I made it. But then the pirates take your wife who's on a cruise by East Africa for some reason. Then you gotta be like, oh shit, Navy SEAL, so I don't pay taxes to. Go and rescue my wife. And then they shoot your wife.
Yeah. That was good freestyle rap.
I didn't have very many rhymes.
No, it didn't.
It was not like one big payoff to a rhyme that never came.
Yeah. No, it was kept you in suspense, though. When's that rhyme going to come?
Moral of the story, yeah. Rich people should pay their taxes or Navy SEALs won't rescue them when they get hijacked off of the coast of Africa.
By pirates, yeah. Have you seen The Expendables?
I think my mod watched it at the end of last year. I think I walked in at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
I walked in at some point when people were being shot.
That could have been the whole thing. But it's totally worth it for Sylvester Stallone's commentary.
Oh, like his director's comment?
Yes.
Did he direct?
Yeah. And wrote. Direct and wrote.
I'm an auteur.
It's a great, it's pretty great commentary. The whole scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis are talking, and Sylvester Stallone. That's the whole scene, and Bruce Willis keeps making references to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone having sex with each other.
The characters or the actors?
Yeah, the characters. Oh. Like you guys should just suck each other's dicks, and then the commentary that Sylvester Stallone goes. You know, he just ad-libbed that, and he couldn't, I didn't really want to keep that in. I was like, whoa, man, you can't say that. You can't say that the Terminator is going to go down on Rocky. But then I thought about it a little bit more and was like, that fits.
That's sharp, open-minded filmmaking.
Yeah, it's, that's basically the whole commentary. It's like, you know, there's pirates at the beginning. I mean, he's not talking like that. It's not, but it's like, you know, there's at the beginning, there's they hijack a Somalian pirates hijack a ship, and he goes, "This is like the hijacking the pirate ship. That's like a commentary on pirates and politics, and it's a thing that people aren't really talking about." And I'm glad like this film brought it to light.
Yeah, he's a social critic.
Yeah, I know.
It's a man of our times.
Exactly.
Did you ever see? I may have brought this up before. Did you ever see the Liam Neeson movie he made like right after his wife died? Taken.
Yeah, Taken is great.
Oh man, like
I love Taken.
I made fun of that movie for a year, and then I saw it and I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah. Oh man, it's so. It's
if you ever need to see someone vengeful, like it's like watching like a violin master just play a 2-hour concert. Like if you want to see someone with righteous anger kill people at the top of their game for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And be like, I want. Yeah. No, it's sublime.
It is. I mean, it's not. It's probably great
for what it. Oh no, it's
for
not
all the wrong reasons. Yeah. But it's still great.
Yeah. No, the best part is when that girl dies halfway through of the in the house for breaking the women with the heroin.
Oh yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, this is terrible." And then it's never addressed again.
It's never addressed again.
Like when he rescues his daughter at the end, it's like, "What friend who died along the way of this adventure?"
Yeah, exactly.
No, this was a perfectly happy ending.
Yay! And now we'll go home.
Oh, what's his face? That director? What's that guy? He's the La Femme Nikita guy. Isn't that the like Bresson? The guy who did The Fifth Element? That's him.
Yeah.
That's the Fifth Element guy who directed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plot holes? What plot holes? I mean, how do you feel about The Fifth Element?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the...
Actually, I did. I saw it. I saw half of it. That's the Bruce Willis.
Yeah, with Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker. Yeah, I should rewatch it. I liked it. I watched it when I was really tired and kind of, you know, like zoned out. It's not like...
That is just such an unapologetically batshit crazy movie.
Yeah.
Also, Ian Holm is in it.
Who's Ian Holm?
The android from Alien.
Okay.
Like, he plays this, like, priest.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, like, safeguarding the universe.
Nice.
It's all, you know, it's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, it's a very...
Don't think about
movie.
It too deeply.
I won't.
Just
yeah, no, you
stare
should,
at the pretty
yeah.
colors and the explosions.
I know, exactly.
And Bruce Willis's facial expressions.
Yeah.
All right, how about little David Bowie?
Okay.
Yeah.
New David Bowie.
This is TVC15 off of Station to Station.
Story between a girl and her children.
Oh, geez. That was the live version. Womp, womp. 1 second. No professionalism up in this bitch. All right.
I'm still reeling now.
coked out David Bowie. Yeah, I don't know. I really love that album, Station to Station. It's just like...
I should listen to that. I'm going to get into David Bowie now.
I mean...
Hearing that song.
Where do you stand on the, like, the glam rock stuff?
I like some songs on Ziggy Stardust. I mean, I've never really been that much into David Bowie, so I don't really know.
I mean, there's something
that well, but I like you know, the song that's you know, the kids are like, what's the
All the Young Dudes.
All the Young Dudes. No.
It's oh, not.
It's like track 3.
Oh, You Pretty Things?
No,
oh.
it's on Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, Moon Age Daydream.
Oh, maybe.
Put your electric eye on me, babe. Put your maybe. Ray gun to my head.
It could be that one. I don't.
Or is it Starman? There's a Starman waiting in the sky. Yeah. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds.
Yeah.
There's a star. Apparently, he didn't want to put that on the album, and like the people at RCA was like, "Dude, that's a hit."
Yeah, it is a hit.
That seems to happen a lot, where an artist has some song, they're like,
"Yeah, that sucks."
And Purpose is like, "No, this like all the you know the story behind All the Young Dudes is mm-hmm. he offered Matt the Hopple, Suffragette City, and they're like, pfft. And he's like, "You want a fucking hit? I'll give you a fucking hit." And he literally sits down with an acoustic guitar and writes All the Young Dudes on the spot.
Wow, and that's how some of the best songs are ever written.
Yeah. So, I don't know where you want to go from here.
You could play another song. We could close it up. We're nearing the end of this hour.
How about You Get What You Deserve by Big Star?
The Big Star can do you no wrong.
All right, so this is You Get What You Deserve by Big Star.
Every move.
That was You Get What You Deserve by Big Star, who did not get what they deserved.
No, no, they did not.
What is with the phenomenon of artists doing something definitive and then not liking it? And I think that should be a horrible feeling to do something that you felt was compromised and mediocre, and then everyone spends the rest of your life being like, dude, that was amazing. That defines you.
Yeah, I know. It could not be. It might not. Well, but then you also have an audience to do. Like, once you only have to do that once to get your audience and then do what you want. And
but it just must feel gross to be like, knowing that he's defined by a legacy he never even asked for. Like,
I know. Well,
like, to hear him tell it when they did it was just basically a market grab. Like, what do people love? Crashing melodies and...
Yeah,
I'm sure he was more into it than he gives himself credit for.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, yeah, it's a good song. You can't...
No, like, it's an undeniably good pop rock song.
Yeah.
Right? Have you listened... I keep hearing the name The Raspberries when people talk
about... Yeah, I hear about them, too. I haven't... I don't... I should listen to them. I get them confused with the Cranberries, but...
Zombie. And I remember being old enough at this point, like being in elementary school, and like the kids who like thought that they rocked out because they listened to the Cranberries.
Yeah, it's not a good. That's a sad thing. It just goes downhill from there. It's their life going downhill. Cranberries. Well, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I guess there is hope.
There is hope for the Irish rock scene?
No, I mean, the Cranberries are fine.
Oh. They don't exist anymore, right?
No, I don't think so.
You listen to Them?
Them?
Like, you know, the guys who originally did Gloria.
Gloria?
Yeah, yeah, that's Van Morrison's original band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I know. Oh, right, yeah, I only know the Patti Smith version of Gloria.
Oh. Jesus, but,
That's, yeah.
No, the Them stuff, that's like some good, like, it's like British Invasion, but it's like...
Yeah, I would listen to them. I like them. I'd probably like them.
It's like Irish, so it's kind of rougher and angrier.
Yeah, like, cool.
But it's time to bid adieu.
It's time to bid adieu.
All right, so in honor of Friday, let's leave with New Day Rising by Husker Du.
All right, let's do it. I thought you were going to say Rebecca Black, but I'm glad you didn't.